Today's shiur is Masechta Sota, Daf Lamed Dalet. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Tanya, Reb Yossi, Omer. B'shlosh makaymus nosu kohanimus ha'aron. We find three times in history, says Reb Yossi, that kohanim carry the aron. Although, there's an interesting machloikis, Ramban and Rambam. The Ramban holds that typically the Levim were the ones that carried the Aron, except for these three special situations, the way most Mefarshim explain it, because these situations represented very significant historical events, and therefore in these three times, the Kohanim were asked to carry the Aron. The Rambam has the following approach. He says, really the mitzvah of carrying the Aron belongs to the Kohanim. Just, I refine the pasuk says explicitly that in the Mishkan, the Levim carried Aron. Says the Rambam, because in the Mishkan, there weren't a lot of Kohanim. And we needed the Kohanim to do the Avodah in the Mishkan. So they weren't available to carry the Aron. So the Levim carried the Aron. Once Klal Yisrael grew, and there were enough people available, enough Kohanim available to carry the Aron, then the Levim no longer carried it under any circumstances. Which it's clear that our Gemara, asked the Ramban, is difficult to understand. Because the Ramban says, so it's not just three times. According to the Ramban, it was all the time that way. So the Yad Shor, Reb Yosef Shol Natanzon, explains that we have to explain the Gemara according to the Rambam, that the Gemara is giving examples of three situations when the Kohanim carried the Aron, but really it was typical that they carried it all of the time. We went the three times. Shavuos Yarden, where Klal Yisrael passed through the Yarden as they were entering into Eretz Yisrael, and we'll discuss this a lot in the coming Shiurim. Shivas Yerichai, we know that Klal Yisrael circled Yerichai once every day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they circled Yerichai by carrying the Aron 7 times, and the wall of Yerichai crumbled, and that at that time, again, because it was such a significant event, the Kohanim carried it. When they brought the Aron back, when they brought the Aron to Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as Rashi goes on to explain, the Aron, in the time when the Mishkan was standing in Shiloh, and Eli was the Kohen Gadol, was captured by the Pelishtim. And as we will learn, the Aron caused havoc to the Pelishtim, and they sent it right back after a short while. But by the time they sent it back, the Mishkan wasn't standing anymore. So they sent it to Beit Shemesh, to the home of Avinodov, where it was for 20 years. Then David HaMelech took it from the home of Avinodov to the home of Oved Edom, and then Shlomo HaMelech ultimately brought it back to where it belongs after Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and brought it to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tosfos asks that our Gemara says that it was done by the Kohanim. There's a pasuk in Devar Yamim that clearly says that the Levim were those that brought back the Aron to the Beis HaMikdash. So how does the Gemara say it was the Kohanim? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer Tosfos gives is that many times we find that the pasuk calls the Kohanim by the name Levim. So this is such an example where it was really the Levim, it was really the Kohanim, they were called Levim. That's one answer. Another answer Tosfos gives is that taking the Aron out of the home of Oved Edom was done by Kohanim. Transporting it on the way from till they got to the Beis HaMikdash was done by the Levim. And then, again, when they entered the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim took over. So the pasuk that says it was done by the Levim is accurate, because part of the transportation was done by the Levim. So the Gemara now discusses, as we said it will, what happened as Klal Yisrael were going through the Yarden, turned to Eretz Yisrael. The Kivin Shenitlu Ragla Kohanim B'mayim. As soon as the feet of the Kohanim came into the Yarden, Chazra Mayim L'chareim, the water went upwards, it stopped flowing. Shenema, they all stood in a column. Asked the Gemara, "Kama govish l'mayim? How high was that column? Shnei masamil, al shnei masamil. It was a height. The focus here is on the height. It was a height of 12 mil. Keneged Machni Yisrael Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the formation, the Gemara will discuss this more soon, the formation of Klai Yisrael was they traveled in a formation of 12 mil by 12 mil. So the length of Klai Yisrael was 12 mil. So the water that went up had to be the distance of 12 mil to give enough time for Klai Yisrael to walk through. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Lidvarecha, I don't understand your opinion, he says. Odin Kal, Amayim Kalim. When something's flowing, what's quicker, a person or water? Water obviously travels faster than a person. Havayim Amayim Kalim. So how could you give the same amount of time for people to pass to water to flow? In Cain, if you're going to only give that duration, the water would drown them. Ella says, Rav Elazar holds, Malamit, Shai Mayim, Nagdoshim, Va'olim, Keepim, Al Gabba Keepim, the water flew, the water piled up, waves on top of waves, yes, Mishlosh Meis Mil, more than 300 mil, Acharoyan son, Kamalchim Ezrachimarev. They were so high that the entire world saw it. How does Rabbi Yehuda address Rabbi Elazar of Shimon's concern? So Rishonim answer that of course Rabbi Elazar is correct. When water is flowing in its normal direction, and a person is walking in his normal direction, water flows much quicker than a person. But here we had water flowing against gravity. It was flowing upwards. Water flowing upwards doesn't flow that quickly. And it could be that water flowing upwards flows at the same rate as a person walking. Tysus also asks, here the Gemara says that the water reached up 300 mil. Tysus asks that the entire distance between earth and heaven is three parsos, which is a lot less than 300 mil. So what does it mean they went up that high? There isn't that far to go. So the Mritz Chayis says, to answer Tysus' question, the Gemara should be understood as a guzma. It's an exaggeration. It really didn't go that high up. But Tysus says that actually what happened was it pierced the clouds and went all the way up to the Shemayim. Why? As we're going to learn now. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the entire world should be aware of what was happening. Shenemar, V'hi kishma kamalcha amori, asher b'yav v'ayad in yoma, v'chol malcha kanan, asher l'yom, asher hoivish Hashemis mei yadim. They all became aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had dried up the water of the Yarden, v'pnei b'nei Yisrael ad Avram, till Klai Yisrael passed. V'yovmas l'vavim, they all, their hearts melted. V'loi hoibem oit ruach l'pnei b'nei Yisrael. They didn't have the ability to fight with Klai Yisrael. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this incredibleness. Vaf Racha Hazoina Amr L'Shluchi Yeshua. And we find a similar situation. We know that Yeshua sent two spies to see what the situation is in Yerichai. And they were hidden by Rachav. And she was talking to them. And she says to them, Kishamanu Seshoivus Hashemis Meyamsof, that we heard what happened to Gevalda Ganes of Kriyas Yamsuf, v'ksiv, v'nishma, v'yimas l'vavenu, v'loikamoy, and we lost all of the ability to fight when we saw the nisim that happened to Klai Yisrael. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, they explained what Rachav was saying, seeing is believing. If all of the kings of the world wouldn't been aware of Kriyas Yamsuf, because they had heard of it, it wouldn't have made such an impact that they should be scared of Klai Yisrael. Only because, as we know the Medrash says, that all the water in the world split when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Kriyas Yamsuf. So everybody in the world was aware of this tremendous miracle called Kriyas Yamsuf. So it had a tremendous effect on all the people of the world. Similarly here, says the Gemara, it wasn't enough that everybody should know about the Nes that happened by the Yarden. It required that they should see it. And that would have the positive, they would have the effect that they would no longer have the chutzpah to fight with Klai Yisrael. Oidim b'yarden, as Klai Yisrael is standing in the Yarden, Amram Yeshua. So Yeshua gave a speech to Klal Yisrael. And in fact, the Rishonim ask, when Rabbi Yehuda says that the water went up 12 mil, he doesn't take in consideration the amount of time that it took for Yeshua to say his speech, that the water had to be going upwards. Why doesn't the Gemara take that into consideration? It's a very important lesson. The Mepharshim say, Yeshua made a very short speech. So since he made a short speech, it didn't take that much time that it should be taken into consideration. He said to them, Do, amatem oivrim seyarden. Know why you're passing this yarden. Amash shetarishu as yoshvei oret v'pneichem. Because Klal Yisrael has the responsibility of chasing the umas oilim out of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, v'rashtem es kol yoshvei oret v'pneichem. Imatem oisim kein, if you follow your responsibility, mutav, fine. Mlav, if you won't, boyim mayim v'shoitvim eisechem. So, the Rishonim point out, the Mepharshim point out, that we know the Gemara many times in Shas teaches us about Hilchas Tanoim. Certain halachas have to be followed that if a condition is to be considered halachically valid. This is such an example. Yeshua made a Tanai, he was following the Hilchas Tanoim. One of the halachas is that you have to have Tanai Koidim L'maisa. You can't say a condition after, it has to be stipulated before. That's what was happening here. Before they went in, before the Nes happened, Yeshua made the stipulation. I saw in the Rishonim and in the Achronim really two pshatim, what exactly did Yeshua mean? Many Rishonim explain that what Yeshua meant was, we know that the Umas Ha'olam, the living in Eretz Yisrael, were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and what Yeshua was telling them was, you have the responsibility to eradicate Avodah Zarah. That's one pshat. And in fact, I saw the Satmar Rebbe says a beautiful pshat on that pshat. He says that typically the responsibility to do a mitzvah sasei, eradicating Avodah Zarah as a mitzvah sasei, is not the same as not doing an Aveira. Why here did Yeshua tell him if you won't destroy the Avodah Zarah, you won't be able to remain in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Satmar Rebbe, because Avodah Zarah is different than everything else. Avodah Zarah is the basis of our religion. And if somebody doesn't eradicate Avodah Zarah, it's like he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. And therefore they had this responsibility. That's one pshat. Taisvis quotes Yerushalmi that says a different pshat altogether. He says, we know there's a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. One Jew is responsible for another Jew. If I see a Jew doing something improper, I have to tell him. But if let's say somebody does something in the privacy of his home, in the privacy of his heart, I don't know, can't tell him. Taisa says that in the Yardain, they accepted upon themselves that they will be responsible not only for the Niglois, not only when I know and see, but even for the Nestoris. And Taisa says a raya, because what happened was that Ochon took what he wasn't supposed to take, he did it privately, nobody knew, yet all of Klal Yisrael was punished. And Taisa says that was what Yeshua stipulated with them at that time, but it's obviously a stipulation that's impossible to survive with, and ultimately they retracted from that stipulation. There's also a beautiful, beautiful vart that I saw from Cheskel Abramsky. He says, and we're going to discuss this in Mitzvah Shem later in the parak. He says, we know that when Klal Yisrael had Kriyas Yamsuf, so how did Kriyas Yamsuf happen? Nachshon and Nadav jumped into the water, and then the water split. Here we don't find that there was a need for anybody to show Mesiris Nefesh to jump into the water and that caused the water to split. Why? So he says like this. He says, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the only real schus that they had was the schus of Amunah. They were believers in Hashem. So if they're believers in Hashem, they have to show that they're believers. How did they show it? Nachshman and Menadov jumped into the water, didn't ask any questions, relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showed bitachon, that's why the water split. Here, when they were going through the Yardim, they didn't have to rely on Amunah. They had Torah. It was already after Kabbalah Satorah. And as we're learning in the Gemara, the Kahanim entered the Yardim holding the Aron with the Torah. So you didn't have to rely on Amunah, somebody jumping in. So Yeshua used the word Eisechem. What does that mean? What is Eisechem? All of us will be in trouble if we don't accept what HaKadosh, this stipulation. Oda b'yardim, as the still in the yardim, Amalam Yeshua, harim lechem ish even achas al shechmoy, everybody should pick up a stone, lemispar shifte Yisrael, 12 stones for the 12 shvatim. So the way most Rishonim, Rashi and most Rishonim learn this Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, is that they really picked up each two stones. One stone was picked up to be left there as a monument for what happened. Another stone was picked up that ultimately was taken with them, as we're going to learn in the coming Shiurim, to Gilgal, to Har Megrizim, Har Evel. That was the other Evan. There are Rishonim that learn that it wasn't two sets of stones, it was actually one set of stone that first was picked up to show the nest of the Yarden, but it didn't remain there. They carried it along with them until they ultimately left it in Gilgal. But we're going to learn the first pshat. The Ksiv, what was the purpose of the first set of stones? This should be a sign. If your children ask them, what are these stones all about? Simon Labonim, this will remain as a monument, Sha'avu Avaisa Yarden, that our forefathers passed the Yarden. Adam Bayarden, but now Yeshua speaks about the second set. Amalan Yeshua, Sulacha Mizem Mitoicha Yarden, Mimatsev Raglia Kohanim, pick up Hochin, Shtemas Revonim, another 12 stones, Vervatam Oisamimachim, to carry with you, Vinachtam Oisabimolim, and you'll take it to the lodging, as we're going to learn later in the parak, they went a very long distance that day. So you think they made a number of stops. One of those stops, it's sufficient to leave these stones. The place where you stay tonight. Amar Yehuda. We have another guest, Amar Yehuda, which has halachic implications. Abba Chalafta. So before we go further, according to the Girsa, that it's Rabbi Yossi speaking, so Rabbi Yossi was Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, who was Chalafta's son. So the question the Paiskim discuss, is a son allowed to mention his father's name? We know a son's not allowed to call his father by his first name. Here, Rabbi Yossi is saying his father's name, Chalafta. So the Paiskim say, that if, when you say your father's name, you say before it, my father, Chalafta, and the same really goes for Rebbe, my Rebbe, whatever his name is, then it's Mutter. And that's what happened here. He didn't just say Chalafta, he said Abba Chalafta, my father Chalafta, then he's allowed to mention his father's first name. They examined those stones, the Shiurim, and they were able to determine that Kol Achas V'Achas Shkula Kaboim Sa. Every stone weighed 40 saw. V'gemiri, furthermore, we have a rule. The ta'uni de madli inshala kasve, if a person has to pick something up himself, he has to pick up a heavy load himself, tilsa the ta'uni have. That means like this, if I have to pick something up myself, it's obviously much more difficult than if somebody helps me lift it. What is the ratio? Something that I pick up myself is only going to weigh a third of what I pick up when somebody else helped me. So they each were able to pick up a stone that was 40 saw. Had they been able to have help, they would have been able to pick up a stone that was 120. The Mefarshim ask, why indeed did they pick it up themselves and not have someone else help them? So Mefarshim say, because this was the obligation that every Shevet itself was declaring and saying that we accept upon ourselves the Torah. Not because of another Shevet's involvement. It's our own obligation. And that's why every paddy picked it up by themselves without anybody else's assistance. So Gemara says, the Gemara, interesting what happens here. The Gemara jumps back and forth between two different subjects. Havi mekanat mechashiv leshkoil. We know that when Klal Yisrael went, the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael, they picked up a cluster of grapes. There, as we're going to learn, it was eight individuals, eight of the Nesiim, picked it up together. So if they helped each other, so now we've made a calculation that when I pick up something with somebody else helping me, I could pick up 130. So we have eight, as the Gemara is going to prove, Nesiim carrying the cluster of grapes. 8 times 120, that means that that cluster of grapes weighed 960 sol. Shenema, how do we come to that? Because the pasuk says, v'yusu b'moit m'shnayim. They carried on a pole, b'shnayim. So the question is, obviously, b'mash m'shnayim b'moit, if the pasuk says that it was carried by in a pole, any day she b'shnayim, so obviously, it takes two people to carry a pole. Matam alone b'shnayim. So why does the pasuk use b'shnayim? To b'shnayim m'moit. To teach us, there were two poles. Why were the two poles? Amar Rav Yitzchak, turtni, v'turtni the turtni. We have a machloikis Rashi and Tosis, how to understand this. Rashi explains as follows. First, there were two sticks that were parallel, two poles that were parallel to each other. Two poles that are parallel to each other, you need four people, two for each pole. Then under these two parallel poles, says Rashi, there were another poles, two poles that were like in an X formation. Again, four people carrying, you get to the eight. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis learns this way. You have the two parallel poles, but at the front of, and back of each pole, there was a perpendicular pole, smaller, and each of those poles was held by two people. So you have four of those perpendicular sticks, you have eight. Okay, it said. So what happened was, Shmoina Nosu Eshkol, eight Shvatim, eight Nesim carried this cluster of grapes, Echad Nosu Rimayim, Vechad Nosu Teina. One carried the pomegranate from Eretz Yisrael, and one carried a teina. Yeshuva Kalev, lo nosa klum. They didn't carry anything. Why didn't they carry anything? Ibai same mishum d'chshivi. They were more choshev than everybody else, and that's why it wasn't befitting their honor that they should carry. Ibai same shlohai ibai seitza. The entire purpose, the Mefarshim explained, of them taking this cluster of grapes. Because even Eretz Yisrael, which was so very blessed, you don't typically have a cluster of grape that's 960 saw in weight. They specially looked for such a cluster of grapes, for as we're going to learn, they wanted to frighten Klal Yisrael. Yeshua and Kalev didn't want to have any part of this scheme, and they refused. Ask the Mefarshim. When Moshe Rabbeinu give the Meraglim the marching orders, he says, V'lokachtem v'priyaretz, that you have to take. So how could Yeshua and Kalev violate Moshe's explicit instructions? So I saw three truths. One teretz is really what we're learning. They violated because they knew what they're trying to accomplish, and they didn't want to have any part of it. Another teretz that I saw is the Yehayam says this teretz. What was the purpose of them, of Moshe Rabbeinu saying this? He says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want them to be detected. He said, what should you do? You should go into the land and look like you're business people. You're buying and selling fruits. He didn't mean that they should take it back to the Midbar. So it could well be that while they were in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua and Kalev were carrying produce. They just didn't want to participate in bringing it back to the Midbar, which was never Moshe Rabbeinu's intent. The Chassam Sofer says a third teretz. The Chassam Sofer says, how are they allowed to take fruit from Eretz Yisrael? It's not theirs. Jesse says, they thought that they're going into Eretz Yisrael right away, and Eretz Yisrael is already theirs. So it's not stealing, it's theirs. Yeshua and Kalev knew the truth. Yeshua and Kalev knew that because of what the Meraglim were doing, that they wouldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael for another 40 years. So Eretz Yisrael is not theirs. So they have no right to take fruit that doesn't belong to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, he meant the command was before they did the Aveira. So what happens in the Gemara is interesting. We've really discussed two subjects. We've discussed the subject of them passing through the Yarden, and we discussed the subject of Meraglim. The Gemara now, for a couple of lines, is going to go back to the subject of going through the Yarden, and then the Gemara is going to go back to the Meraglim. So, the Yarden. Plikbar of Amir of Yitzchak Nafka. There's a machloikis, how to understand the machloikis tanam that we learned earlier about how high did the water go up. Charama, l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, once suggests that according to Rabbi Yehuda, kichaniyason avru, that they passed, that they walked through the Yarden in the formation that they always went, that 12 mil by 12 mil, and that's how l'divrei, that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the water only had to go up to 12 mil. L'divrei Rav Elazar of Shimon, according to Rav Elazar of Shimon, however, b'zeh chazeh avru, they didn't travel in the formation that they were in the midbar. They traveled in a single file. And therefore, it took much longer till they all passed. And since it took much longer till they all passed, the water went up, according to them, 300 mil. The Rishonim say that according to Rav Elazar of Shimon, that they went single file. What does that mean? One at a time? Will never end. He says they went in a line that was 10 people wide. Single file, 10 people wide. The Mefarsh Tosfos asks another kasha. Here the Gemara is suggesting that the reason, according to Rav Elazar of Shimon, it took, the water had to go so high up, was because they went single file. The Gemara Naman Aleph, Rav Elazar of Shimon, gave a different reason. He said the reason is because water travels faster than people. So what is the reason? So he says it's really both. It's a combination of these two reasons. Number one, Rav Elazar of Shimon says water travels faster. Number two, we have this issue that they traveled single file, and that's why Rav Elazar of Shimon said the water went up that high up. The Charamer, the other man says, Beimar, Beimar, both Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar of Shimon agree that they passed in the same formation as they traveled, not in single file. Just we go back to what we discussed earlier in the shiur. Ma'asava adam kal, or ma'asava ma'im kalim. Rav Yehuda holds that water doesn't travel when it's traveling backwards that quickly, and therefore it's the same rate. Rav Elazar doesn't agree. So now we go back to the Parshas Meraglim. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe ben Shlach Lecha Anoshim. So there's an obvious question. Amr Shlokish, Shlach Lecha Midatcha. Do what you want. The question is, V'chi Adam Zeh Baruch Chel Grel Atzmai, meaning as follows. If we learn the Pasuk, Pasuk Pshat, the Pasuk seems to be saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directed Moshe Rabbeinu to send the Meraglim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, so why did anything bad happen? They followed the orders. It must be, V'hayinu d'ksiv, V'yitav HaBeinu HaDover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to do whatever he wanted, and Moshe Rabbeinu chose to send the Meraglim, and we know what happened. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu indeed send the Meraglim, which wasn't clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's orders, and we know what happened because of it. So I saw a number of mahalchim in the Mefarshim. One mahalch is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to follow Derech HaTeva. The Derech HaTeva, the normal way is that before you go to war, you send intelligence to find out what's going. The Derech HaTeva is to send Meraglim. Another pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was the honor of Mikol Adam, the most humble person. He can never imagine how somebody, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you to go and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees you, I'm giving you this land, you should have any concern that there'll be a problem. He would never, Chas v'Sholem, speak against Hashem. He never thought that anybody else could speak against Hashem. And therefore, it never entered his mind that the Meraglim may cause such serious problems. A third shot that I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu at this point assumed that he would be entering Eretz Yisrael. And because he assumed he'd be entering Eretz Yisrael, we know the Gemara says in many places, had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Midrash would have never been destroyed. So he wasn't worried that anything bad could happen because he knew he's going to come and make sure everything will be fine. A fourth pshat that the Rishonim suggest, based on an interesting medrash. The medrash, I'm going to say the medrash in modern terms. If you go to buy a car from someone and you ask the person, can I test drive the car? If the person tells you, I'm not going to let you test drive the car, what is going to happen? You're going to get nervous that there's something wrong with this car. Why is he letting me test drive it? But if I ask you, can I test drive the car? And you say, sure. But most people will say that there's probably nothing wrong with the car. Because if he's saying that, he obviously has nothing to hide. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu thought was going to happen. They came to him and asked him, let's send Meraglim. So he started thinking to himself, if I'm not going to allow Meraglim to go, they're going to think there's something wrong with Eretz Yisrael. If I say they could go, they'll say we don't have to go. But it backfired. The Meraglim intended always to say bir about Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk that the Meraglim says, The Ksiv Hassan, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'chofer alvona busha achama. The sun and the moon will be in shame when Mashiach comes. Why? Because they are the subject of Avodah Zarah. People worship the sun and the moon, and they'll be ashamed. Here too, they did the wrong thing. I saw some of Farshim say it was the Meraglim who had bad intentions. Others say it was really Klal Yisrael had the bad intention, and the Meraglim represented what Klal Yisrael wanted. So the Pasuk says, Ve'lishmoisam. As the Mashal explains, the Pasuk says, before the Pasuk lists the names of the Meraglim, the Pasuk says, Ve'lishmoisam. And then after the Pasuk naming, listing those names, again the Pasuk says, El Shemois. Why does it have to say that twice? To teach us that there's something to be understood about these names. The Pasuk says, Lamat Ruven, and the Pasuk gives the list, Shem Ben Zachar, and so on. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Dovazah, Mesoris, Miyadenim, Avisenu. We have this tradition. Meraglim, Alshem, Masem, Nekro. The names of the Meraglim represent who they were. As we've explained many times, a name that a person has, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person's parents the seichel to choose a specific name for a child, it's not just happenstance. Those names really represent on a very deep, in a very deep way, who really that child, that person will be. And that is represented by the Meraglim. The names of the Meraglim indicate who they were. And they had a Messiah on every one of the names of those Meraglim, what their name represented. But the Gemara says, Vonu lo'osu v'yidein alechad. We only remember one of those lessons. The Nasi of Shevet Asher was Sesor ben Michal. Why was he called Sesor ben Michal? Sesor Shesoser Maisav Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Eretz Yisrael is good. They contradicted what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw from the Yam is very beautiful pshat. We just quoted a moment ago the famous Gemara that says that had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash would have never been destroyed. Only because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't enter, so the Beis Hamikdash got destroyed. Where did the trouble begin? The trouble began when by the Meraglim. So because the Meraglim ultimately led to Moshe Rabbeinu not entering Eretz Yisrael, which ultimately gave the opportunity, so Maaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's edifice, the Beis Hamikdash, should be destroyed. Mechol she'osa atzmemach. This is a euphemism. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too weak to help us enter Eretz Yisrael and prevail. Amar Rav Yochanan, af ananoimer. And as the Mefarshim explained, what Rav Yochanan now is going to explain the name of the Nasi of Shevet Naphtali, it's not the Messiah that they had. He on his own said that this perhaps is a way of explaining this name. Nachbi ben Vavsi, Nachbi Shechbi Dvar Shekadosh Baruch Hu. He hid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Yisrael is great, you have nothing to worry about, and he hid it. Vavsi Shepisa Midas Shekadosh Baruch Hu. The Mashal explains, the mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that if somebody does good, he gets reward. If somebody does bad, he gets punishment. And they try to destroy that. I saw a beautiful observation made by the Mefarshim. The two Shvatim that the Gemara is able to point out acted inappropriately is the Nasi of Shevet Asher, the Nasi of Shevet Naphtali. Regarding Shevet Asher, the Pasuk says, Ma'asher Shmeina Lachma. The portion that Asher got in Etzor was a gewaldige portion. Naphtali, Svarotzen, also got a great portion. The people who got the best portion were the complainers, which you find a lot of times in life. The people who have it best complain the most. The Pasuk says, V'yal b'negav, v'yovat chevroi, says the Gemara. First the Pasuk says, V'yalu, loshin rabim, all of them. And then it says, loshin yochid, v'yovoi. V'yovoi m'bayle, the Pasuk just said, they all arrived to Chevron. Amar Rava, malamet shapirish kolav, matzas m'raglim. Kalev separated himself from all the Meraglim, for Holach from the Shtat of Akivar Ovis. And he went to Chevron where the Ovis are buried, Amalan, and he said, Avoisai Bikshu Alai Rachmim, daven for me, and not Sol Matzas Meraglim, that I should not fall into the Eitz of the Meraglim. A number of very important issues to discuss. Why did Kalev choose to go, asked the Mepharshim, to Chevron? Why didn't he choose to go to Har Moriah? We got the Torah. We had the Akedah. Why Chevron? So Mepharshim say, because Chevron, as we just said, is the place where the Ovis were buried. We find that every one of the Ovis had an Nisayon in receiving Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, V'Yerivu, he had a fight for those Be'erois. Yaakov didn't have where to put his head down. So the Ovis showed that Eretz Yisrael doesn't come easy. That's why he went to Davin, where they were. The Mepharshim also point out, what does it mean, Shapirish Matzas Meraglim? At the beginning, they say Kalev was in the same scheme as the Meraglim. He was in the same scheme as the Meraglim. But now, because he was Mespalel, he had Siyata Deshmaya not to fall in. The Mepharshim discuss at great length here the Inyan of being Mespalel in a Beis HaKvaris. Because the Pasuk says that we're not allowed to be doirish alameisim. We're not allowed to speak to dead people. We're not allowed to ask from dead people. So how could they, what is going to Beis HaKvaris all about? It's a very long subject in Halacha. We'll just speak about it for a moment. Some explain that by going to Beis HaKvaris, you're not davening to the people who are there. What you're doing is that the place with tzaddikim rest is a makom kadosh. And therefore, since it's a Makom Kaddish, it's an appropriate place to daven. Another pshat is that we're just mentioning the schus of the tzaddikim and the others who are there, that their schus should help us for what we need. But many mefarshim, and there's a long tshuva in the Michas HaLazar about this, say that you're allowed to be mespalel by a basic kfaris, that the people who are there should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You never chas v'shom a lot of daven that they should help you. We only believe in one God. But they should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our behalf, and there's nothing wrong. That's not called Dairu Shalom Meisim. Dairu Shalom Meisim, he says, means either that you ask that the Meisim help you, or Dairu Shalom Meisim means that you take, that you want a Ruach HaTumah that should come on you. That's usher. But being mispalo, that they should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us, he says, is actually acceptable, and not just acceptable, very commendable, because parents, even when they're no longer here, want to help their children. And in fact, the Paiskim discuss that, therefore, where somebody has tzaddikim buried, especially if a person has a shaychus, has a connection to those tzaddikim, or they represent forefathers, the halacha is that you're allowed to go to daven there. You should go daven there. In fact, even there's a tshuva I saw the Paiskim discuss, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael under normal circumstances. So if somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael, is he allowed to travel to Europe or elsewhere to be mispalel by kfarim? Especially if you have a connection to those tzaddikim, you're allowed to go. Another thing is, a place where nobody goes, there's also a very big inyan, because those tzaddikim want people, so to speak, to visit them.
Yesterday we learned that
what do you call it? One more point that the Paiskim discuss is that there's a minig, even in this minig, the minhagim, that if somebody wasn't by a grave of a father or mother, some say 10 years, some say 20 years, some say 7 years, then you should not go again. So how could Kalev go? He was never there. So one teretz is that I saw, it's only by a direct father, mother. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov weren't his parents. They were his forefathers. They weren't his parents. Another shot that I saw is that if you have never been there, then there's no issue. If you were there and then you chose not to come for all those years, it's not nice. But if you never were there, it's no issue. Another shot that I saw is that if someone was there, what does it mean that you weren't there? That no one was there, because what happens is, every year, particularly on a yard site, the neshama comes back down. But if year after year after year by the yard site, the neshama comes down and there's nobody there, he doesn't come anymore. But if there was somebody there, even if it wasn't you, it was a sibling or someone else. So the neshama doesn't stop coming, and therefore he can continue going. Divrei Chaim says that if somebody wasn't by a parent's grave for many years, and now he wants to go, what he should do is not go himself right away. He should send someone to say by the kever that your son, your daughter is coming, and then even if they weren't there for many years, they'll let it go. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua kva bekish mashal of Rachman. For Yeshua Moshe Rabbeinu Davin. Shenema, v'yikre mashal ashe benun Yeshua, ka yashi acho matzas meragel. There's machlokes v'shoinim. Did Moshe Rabbeinu only change his name, Yeshua's name at that time, or was it changed much earlier? Machlokes v'shoinim. Ramban says he really changed his name earlier. Where did he get the yud from? So two pshatim. One is he got, some say he got it from Sarai. Kadosh Baruch Hu changed Sarah's name from Sarah to Sarai, so that Yud came to Yeshua. Another pshat is that Yeshua prevail over the Yud Miraglim. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu only daven for Yeshua? And what about the other people? Why didn't he daven for them? So one teretz is, Yeshua was a Talmud. A Rebbe has a responsibility to a Talmud. Another teretz is that with every Shevet, the Nasi, the forefather, came with them. Yosef traveled with Shevet Menashe. Yeshua didn't have anybody to accompany him. So that's why the Keren Ayur says this teretz. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be mispal for him. Another teretz that I saw was that Yeshua, we know, was a great onuf. And because he was a great onuf, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that he may easily be gullible to what they say and do. And one more teretz will say was Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yeshua knew that when he comes to Yisrael, he's going to become the Nasi, the leader of Klal Yisrael. But he didn't want that. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to remain alive. So he was concerned that Yeshua would say bad about Eretz Yisrael to avoid and delay them from going into Eretz Yisrael, some Sefer says this pshat, in order that they should, Moshe Rabbeinu should remain alive. Finally, that's what the Pasuk says. V'avdi kalef ha'isaruach acheres. So the Pasuk says, when the Pasuk describes Chevron, it says, V'sham achiman sheish v'talmai. Achiman was Meyumin Shabachov. He was the strongest of all the brothers. Sheishai, Shemesim is Oretz Kishchisos. His feet were like marble, very heavy, and wherever he walked, he made a hole in the ground. Another pshat is that they made sure that wherever he walked, there should be marble, because on earthen ground, he would just destroy. Talmai, Shemesim is Oretz Tlamim Tlamim. Again, he was so strong, he turned all the earth into furrows. Davach Achiman ban Onis. He built the city of Onis. Sheishai ban Olish, Talai, Bonatabush, Yelidei Ha'onak, Shemanikim Chambekamasan. They were so tall, it looked like they blocked the sun. The Chevron, famous Gemara. The Chevron Shanu Shanu Nivnasa. Chevron was built 7 years before Tsoyin Shem Mitzrayim. Ask them, remind them this. What does the Pasuk mean? Elaim Nivnasa Mamish, that was built 7 years before Mitzrayim was built. So the Gemara, it's difficult to understand. Evsha Adam Barna Bayis Labnai Cotton. Canaan was Chum's fourth son. Mitzrayim was Chum's second son. So what if Chum built for his fourth son? Evsha Adam Barna Bayis Labnai Kaidim. Kaidim Labnai Godel. Dixibnei Chum Kush Mitzrayim. El Shahais Mavuna Alechem Meshuvet Zayim. Heaven was seven times nicer than Zayim. Says the Gemara. There is no land in Eretz Yisrael that's poor quality. What's the proof? The Karvei Shechvi. It was a cemetery. So they didn't want to use good, they used poor land for cemetery. The best fertile land in the world is Mitzrayim. Yes, Mitzrayim. Shenema, Kigan Hashem, Keret Mitzrayim. Vein lecham ula b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, what's the best place? Yes, Mitzrayim. Diksiv kahay b'tzayin sarif. That's where the ministers lived. Vafila hachi chevron mavuna echem meshiv b'tzayin. Chevron was still seven times better than tzayin. Says the Gemara, v'chevron trashim havi? Was chevron poor quality land? V'ksiv yihim keitz abam shona v'yam avsham el melech elchana. He went to Chevron to make his rebellion bring kabonis. Vomer of Avi v'tem rabba b'rabachana shalach lobi kvasim b'chevron. The Tanya in the Brisa indeed says, Elam and Moyev, Kvasim Mechevron. So we see Chevron produces great Kvasim. Says the Gemara, Menei, that's the best proof. I did the Klisha Ara, because Chevron didn't have good fertile land. They didn't plant anything. So what did they have there? It had sand. It had grass, I mean. Avdaraya. And when you have grass, that's where animals pasture. And because the animals have great pasture, v'shama kinyanoi. You have good animals, and that's why he went to get the animals from Chevron, which were the highest quality animals.